All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful day. And I pray for everyone who's watching, for everyone who's here, for everyone who's going to listen later. I pray, Father, that you do continue to do your work through your Holy Spirit as we continue through the book of Acts, chapter 3. Father, you have something to say to each of us here. So, Father, I pray that you'd say it. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us ears to hear what it is you are saying to us. And Lord, again, I pray that as we hear these things, as you're speaking to our hearts, as you're speaking to us, Lord, we wouldn't just be those who hear it. We would hear it, but we would receive it, and then we'd obey, and we'd submit to it, whatever it is you're telling us, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 3. So we go into the book of Acts. The book of Acts is all about the early church. It's all about the fact that the early church was filled with the Holy Spirit and now are going to start spreading the gospel throughout, well, the entire world. And so where we pick up here in chapter 3, last week we talked about the last 10 verses of chapter 2, and we covered about what basically is the church. You know, they did four things. They continued the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. And so now as we pick up here in chapter 3, if I can actually get there as the wind blows my Bible pages. Hang on a second. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Now Peter and John, and that, yes, is the same Peter and John, two of the disciples, two of the apostles. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now the ninth hour would have been 3 p.m. Think of it this way. The ninth hour, 3 p.m., was around the time that Jesus was crucified on the cross. And so what would happen is, Jews would go, there would be three times during the day that they would pray. They would pray in the third hour, which was 9 a.m. They would pray in the sixth hour, which was 12 noon. And then they'd pray in the ninth hour, like right now, which was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So they went up to the temple to pray. And there, and a certain lame man, and literally lame means to halt, to be deprived of a foot, maimed, okay? A lame man from his mother's womb was carried. Now, that's giving you detail, the fact that this man was born lame with something to do with his foot, whether it was deformed or what, we don't know, but he was born that way okay? A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now, let's stop there a second. The reason that this gate was called Beautiful was because it was made of fine Corinthian brass. It was 75 feet tall and had two huge double doors. It was the temple gate within the temple complex that would have opened to the court of Gentiles into the women's court. Oh, and by the way, if you're wondering, we're probably about to get attacked by birds. They're all kind of circling here. If you hear a bunch of chirping, it's not the people, it's the birds. I love doing things outside. Anyway, so there's a lame man who was carried. He was by the gate Beautiful. And it says here, in some of your translations, it'll say to ask alms, which basically means to beg. Okay? He's sitting at the gate and he's begging, okay? From those who entered the temple. So as people went into the temple past this gate, he was begging for money, as we're about to find out. He was begging for some kind of wealth. Now, as I was reading through this week and thinking about it, can you imagine being that guy that basically all you've known your whole life, pretty much, at least your adult life, is begging at that temple? Every day. Every day you'd wake up and it'd be the same thing. You'd be there all night till nighttime. I don't know. I assume because he was carried there, somebody carried him somewhere else to sleep for the night. He would sleep for the night. He'd be carried back in the morning and he'd start all over again. Can you imagine the existence that would be? And see, for us, it's kind of, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so it says this in verse 3 of chapter 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms or begged, okay? And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Now see, that's amazing to me because, look, have you guys ever been somewhere? And oftentimes we find it like down in the city of Philadelphia, you go somewhere and there are people who are homeless or who are on the sidewalk or whatever, and they're kind of just saying things, you kind of just ignore them, you walk right past. And so for this day, right now, this lame man goes to Peter and John, and Peter says, basically, look at me. Look at me. And this is what he, and so it says this in verse 5, and it says, so he gave him his attention expecting to receive from them. So he's excited because finally someone has met eyes with him, and he's thinking, you're going to give me something. All right, great. And Peter, look at Peter's response here. He says, then Peter said, silver and gold do I not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then it says this, and he took him by the right hand, that is Peter, took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle and bones received strength. Amazing. So amazing. This man who would beg from the time that he was smaller till now, at least in his adult life we know, he would beg, and one day God interrupts his life. God interrupts his life. It's just like us when God called us to salvation. One day, out of the blue, God calls us to himself. And so whether we respond is up to us. Now you're going to see this man here, he responds because Peter picks him up and says, rise up and walk. And the man does it. And see, oftentimes, in our life, God will ask us things to do that we can't do on our own. But if we simply obey him, he will meet us there and then we'll be able to do it. You know, it's funny. People who struggle with addiction, they will say, I can't overcome this. And the answer to that question is, yes, you can. You can't overcome addiction by yourself, but Jesus is there to help you. You obey the Word of God. The Word of God says that we are to go to God with all things. We're to cast our cares upon him, it says in 1 Peter. Interesting, Peter wrote that, and he's the one who's God's using right now, him and John. But you were to cast our cares upon him and trust in him, and he will meet us. See, God is so faithful to meet us. But here's something else I don't want you guys to miss. This guy was the gate beautiful, okay? So the implication would have been that before Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, he and his disciples, well, I'm banging stuff here, I'm so excited, he would have passed by this gate. He would have passed by this man. He would have passed by this man. So what does that mean? That means that Jesus never stopped and healed this man. And the answer is, why? You'd ask yourself, why? That's very interesting. Well, can I suggest something to you? The reason that Jesus never healed this man was because Jesus knew eventually that he was going to use Peter and John to heal this man. Because, see, it's such an encouragement when God uses us in our lives to reach other people, isn't it? And so Jesus, not that he didn't care about the man, he cared about the man, but he knew at some point that Peter and John would walk past, so he wanted to use Peter and John to work through Peter and John to heal this man, okay? To heal this man. But here's the other thing, too. It implies with Jesus. You know, Jesus would go off by himself early in the morning and pray, and he would get his orders, so to speak, or his commands from his Father for the day. And so we never see Jesus going, okay, guys, we got to hurry. I got all these things to do. I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to do this. He never did that. He did simply what his Father told him to do. So it's almost like he was showing us this example that as we as believers in Jesus Christ, as we follow him, we start our morning off in prayer. And then for that day, God commands us or leads us what we're to do for that day. Because listen, sometimes we might see a need, but that doesn't mean we're the ones that are supposed to meet it. See, we have this mentality where we're going to save the world. We're not going to save the world. Jesus Christ, through his church, will save the world, so to speak. But we have to be led of the Holy Spirit. See, people are afraid of that. People don't understand that. Look, I don't know about you, but so far as we've been going through the book of Acts, what have we been talking about? The early church was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And now they're living their life, so to speak, out. And they're being witnesses. That was the whole reason why they were filled with the Holy Spirit, was to be a witness for Jesus. So they're not running around like crazy men, not knowing what to do. Simply put, in their day-to-day routine, they're going to the temple, praying, and what happens? God uses them to heal this man. Now, what do you think is the reaction of this man? I love it. Verse 8, it says, so he, the man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine that? This guy, he's by the temple, all of a sudden, Peter and John say, hey, silver and gold, we don't have you. Stand up. I'll give you Jesus Christ. Jesus heals him. And what happens? This guy is like leaping. He's shouting, woo, praise the Lord. He's walking. Maybe he's doing moonwalk, whatever he's doing. You know what I'm saying? He is excited. He's real excited. Now, here's what's interesting. They were going out for the hour of prayer. And some commentators suggest that during the hour of prayer in the temple, there would be a time of silence. Okay? Silent meditation. So would to God that when this guy was healed and started shouting, it was quiet in the temple area, and all of a sudden, praise God, praise God, I'm walking, look at me, woohoo, yahoo, you know, he's so excited. Okay? And then it says this in verse 10. Then they knew, or I'm sorry, and all verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And listen to this, verse 10. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amazing. It's amazing. So if it's true that it would have been silent in the temple, okay, all of a sudden you hear some dude going, praise God, running around all over the place. And we're like, what is that? Wait a minute. Isn't that the guy who begs at the temple or at the gate? Isn't that the guy? It's the guy. What happened? Can you imagine that? Look, you know, kind of put it in our modern thing. If we go somewhere and we see somebody begging, all of a sudden you pray for them, you feel led to pray for them, and then you stand up and they walk, and all the people around them all of a sudden are like, what? What? So then he says this in verse 11. Or it says this, rather. It says, now is the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. I guess he would. He's probably so excited. Praise God. Oh, thank you. Thank you. He's probably so excited. Okay? Now is the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which called Solomon's greatly amazed. Now listen, understand something here. Peter and John were just going about their normal routine. They were going about following the Lord, going to the temple to pray, and God used them. And guess what? God used them in such a powerful way that it brought attention. They didn't bring attention to themselves. Remember that. They didn't. I'm sorry. I feel like because I'm standing back here, I'm pointing at everybody. I'm not like, you know. Okay. They didn't bring attention to themselves. It was just through their daily walking with the Lord, God used them, and then he brought attention. Well, we're going to find out, how does Peter and John react to this attention? This is very interesting to me. So the man's leaping and praising God. Everyone is probably, wow, we can't believe it. And all these people start coming. They don't say how many people, and it doesn't matter. And it says this in verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. And listen, I want us to truly, truly hone in on this. I want you to know, look, God had just used Peter and John in a mighty awesome way. I want you to listen to what Peter says. It's so very important, especially in these days. Men, that's all I say, just said men. No, I got to turn the page. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? What's Peter saying? Peter said, we didn't do this. We didn't do it. We weren't the ones. See, what you're about to see is Peter's about to give his second sermon, and he's about to point to the one who healed the man. You know who that was? That was Jesus. That was God. It wasn't them. He gave God the glory. He gave God the credit. Let me tell you something. Did you ever hear anybody say, I did this, I did that, I built this church, I did that, you need to run the other direction? Because they don't have the right perspective, because God did it. God is the one who did it. Understand that. And God is getting the glory here, not Peter and John. And I say that because I've heard people say that. I've literally heard people say that. I've literally heard pastors say, this is what we built, this is what I built, this is what I did. And I'm like, seriously, dude? You didn't do anything. God just let you come along for the ride. You need to have the right perspective. Verse 13. So verse 13, or actually verse 11 to verse 26 is going to be Peter's second sermon now in the book of Acts. And he says this, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. He was determined to let him go three times. So if you read through the gospel account, if you recall, they bring him before Pilate. The Jews, the leadership, bring him before Pilate to be crucified because of the fact that the Romans controlled or ruled over the Jews, they didn't have the ability to bring a death penalty upon somebody. So they had to appeal to a Roman authority. So they appealed to Pilate. And three times, if you remember the story, Pilate's like, what did he do wrong? We need to let him go. And that doesn't take Pilate off the hook either. But anyway, verse 14. But you denied the Holy One. Now listen to how as these next couple verses, how Peter describes Jesus. He calls him first in verse 13, his God's servant, his servant Jesus. Then he says this, the Holy One and the Just, and ask for a murderer to be granted to you. And that was Barabbas. Remember that it was tradition during that time that they could release somebody back to the people. And the people cried out. The religious leadership had them stirred up to say, I'm excited, I'm losing my voice. Stirred up to have them release Barabbas, who was an insurrectionist, instead of Jesus. And remember, Pilate goes, well, what do you want me to do with the king of the Jews? What do you want me to do with Jesus? And they said, crucify him. So Peter, and remember, this is only within a few months out of what actually happened, the actual events. So they would have been fresh in the people's minds about what happened to Jesus. So, but you denied the Holy One the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life. Literally, guys, Prince of Life is author of life, originator of life. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus is the creator. And if Jesus is the creator, what does it mean? Jesus is God. Jesus was God in human flesh. And killed the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. So Peter is saying, hey, I saw this, and we all saw this. You all know what happened. You remember. You saw it. And he says this in verse 16, through faith in his name. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, the name that is above all names. And his name through faith. Okay, let me try this again. Chris, slow down. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Listen to me. Listen to what Peter is reiterating to them. It was faith in Christ that healed this man. Remember, Peter said, rise up and walk. The man could have been like, I'm not going to do that. Don't you think I thought of that before? I'm not going to do that. But by faith, the man rose up and walked. And Jesus, in other words, believing what Peter is saying, believing that Jesus is going to heal him, by faith he was healed. Understand that. It's by faith. It's by faith that we have salvation. The Bible says that we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, through faith in what Christ has done for us. And that's what Peter is saying here. And Peter is putting the emphasis on the fact that Jesus did this. They didn't do it. Jesus did it. Verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did in ignorance, as did also your rulers. So Peter's beginning, as he's giving this sermon, he's beginning, obviously, to sense the conviction of the people. There's conviction by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been somewhere and somebody's told you about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, and you feel a weight of conviction? It's a calling that God has put on you. He's calling you. He's pricking your heart. You know, last week we talked about the fact that Peter's sermon cut them to the heart. He pricked their heart. So he's bringing conviction. Now, what I want us to do here is I want us to put our finger here in Acts chapter 3, and I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As you're turning, I'm going to give an opportunity to get a drink of water. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's start at verse 6. It says, however, and this is the Apostle Paul addressing the church of Corinth, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which, listen to this, none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So back to Acts now. Now read this verse again. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. They were ignorant. That word for ignorant means uninformed. They were ignorant of who Jesus was and what he was there to do. Look, Here's part of the issue. The issue with this whole thing is the nation of Israel was looking for their Messiah to be a political deliverer, not a redeemer of their sins, as what Jesus was. So there was a lot of confusion. But understand this. It was out of their ignorance that they did these things. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing"? So there is ignorance. But listen, okay, ignorance. But see, ignorance doesn't let them off the hook either. Because look at Peter's response to that now, okay? He's going to say, he says this in verse 18, but those things, we're back in Acts 3, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Okay, so you're ignorant, and so God is fulfilling all the things that he prophesied. Remember, God would say in the Old Testament, through his Old Testament prophets, that the people are going to be, are not going to understand. There's going to be a blindness to the people. But listen to what he says. Listen to the response to all that. Verse 19, what's the word there? In my Bible, it says, repent. It says, repent. Repent, therefore, be converted, or literally be turned around. Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. See, what's the key there? The key is repentance. Repentance. Changing your mind. The word for repent in the Greek is metanoia. It means to literally change your mind to the point where you change direction. He says, repent and therefore, come on, Paige. Sorry, guys. The page got stuck to my thumb. It happens all the time. Repent and therefore be converted. That was his response to them. You're ignorant, fine, but here's the thing. That's no excuse. Repent and be converted. Turn around. Stop going the direction you're going. Stop thinking the way you think about Jesus or you used to think about Jesus. You need to think a new way about Jesus. Verse 20. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers. Now, verses 22 and 23 are going to quote from Deuteronomy chapter 18. All right. The Lord your God will raise up to you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Think about that a second. So what is Peter saying? Peter is saying basically God has a plan of salvation. God sent his son Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to fulfill the law and the prophets, to fulfill the prophets, literally the prophecies. And then what does he say? We have to respond. We have to respond. It's on us to respond. Jesus, you know, salvation is for everyone. Christ is a Christ for all nations, for this entire neighborhood at an undisclosed location. For the people in Pottstown, everywhere, okay? He is a Christ for everyone. But here's the thing. He is the initiator, and we are to be the responders. We have to respond, and we respond two ways. Either receive, okay? And I love how he says here, earlier, he says that, where is it? Time, where he mentions the times of refreshing. You can be refreshed. Yes. So the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I love how he says that. You can receive him and receive that, or you can reject him, and be destroyed. And see, look, everyone who rejects Jesus Christ, everyone who rejects him as Lord and Savior, eventually is going to stand before him, Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment, and you're going to be found not in the Lamb's Book of Life because you've rejected his son, and you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire, the lake of fire which is hell. It's the place of outer darkness where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. It is the place of torture. The devil's not there having a party. He's there with you and his demons, and everyone who's rejected Christ, you are all there being tortured for eternity. But the choice is yours. You have to respond. Either you reject or you receive. But that's on you. God has done all this for you. You know, it's a gift of salvation. You know, when our kids were little, not that we don't give them gifts anymore, but when the kids were little and we gave them Christmas gifts, right? In order to receive the gift, we would give them the gift and they would have to open it. Okay? Just like we have to open our hearts by faith and receive the gift of salvation. Now, if the kids don't want the gift, they can give it back to us or they would throw it away. Okay? Now, my kids never did that. My kids were awesome. I mean, they still are. But, sorry to clarify that. They're still great. But the point is that you need to receive it. And so that's on us. We got to be responders. Almost finished here. So, verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold or proclaimed these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And you will find that in the book of Genesis, numerous places, where God makes a covenant with Abraham. Because from the descendant, from Abraham himself, came the nation of Israel. So that Peter is talking to the Jews that are in the temple. Because remember, they went up as accustomed to go to pray. Okay? And all the Jews would have been there. So they're the ones seeing this man being healed. And Peter is now preaching the gospel to them. Preaching the gospel to them. See, you guys, it's almost like this. Because the Jews would say, well, we're the sons of Abraham. We have all the prophets. You know, we're Jews. Peter said, so what? You need to believe your own scripture. You need to believe what the scripture said, that the Messiah would come and suffer. And this Jesus is and was and still is the Messiah who came. You need to respond to his message. You need to respond what he's done for you, just like we all have to. Verse 26, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities, from your sin. So here's the thing. God calls Abraham in the book of Genesis. And through Abraham's seed, it says that the whole nations would be blessed. And how he'd be blessed is because the Messiah would come. And the Messiah is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. By the way, Christ is not his last name, okay? Christ means anointed, or another way to put it as the Jews would, he's the Messiah. Okay, so God called Abraham. Abraham, from his descendants, the Messiah would come, and he did come. And also from Abraham, the people who came from him, the people group, the Jews came. And so the Jewish Messiah is Jesus Christ. But when Jesus came to this earth, what does it say? It says that his own did not receive him. They rejected him. And so I believe all of us sitting here, and probably the majority of you watching, are not Jewish. So Jesus came first to his own people, and they rejected him. And because of that rejection, then he went to the Gentiles. And simply a Gentile is somebody who's not a Jew. It's that simple. So Jesus, as I said earlier, is a Christ for all nations, for all people, for everyone. For people who are ugly, like me. For people who are handsome, who are beautiful, who are whatever. People who are short, fat, skinny, whatever. Every ethnicity. It doesn't matter. Jesus is for everyone. But we have to respond. There's no excuse. You have to respond. Respond to the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. And so we're going to stop there this morning. We're going to pick up next week in chapter 4. And it's about to get good, folks. Read ahead, because of this message, the early church is going to be persecuted. So we're going to talk all about that next week. But let's end in prayer. We're going to pray, and then we will end with a song. Listen, let me just say this. For those of you who are watching, for those of you who will listen later, I love you guys. I truly miss you guys. I can't wait till we can gather together in the same area, in the same room again. I truly love you guys. I'm praying for every one of you. I continue to pray for you guys, and I'm praying that this virus would end. This virus would end, and then we can all gather together. But in the meantime, let's be praying, let's be encouraging one another, and let's be looking to him. Let's be looking to him for our redemption draws nigh. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful weather. Father, I ask you to just speak to each heart here. Each heart here, each heart that's watching, each heart that is listening. Lord, you call all of us to salvation. You call all of us, but we have to respond. Lord, for those who are watching this morning, for those who may be listening, for those who will listen later, if they don't know you, you are calling them right now. Would they respond? Would they respond? Would they simply say, Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah. I believe you died for me. Jesus, forgive me. Now come and be the Lord of my life. And also, for those of us who know you, Jesus, you're still calling us. You're calling us to follow you, to follow you, no matter what. Lord, would you do a work in each one of us? Would you continue to work through us? And may we put you first and exalt you in all that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Guys, the last song we're going to sing is Waymaker.
Make a miracle work.
Father, again, we just thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather together. Lord, we pray for those that are here, for those that are watching. Lord, we pray that you just be with them this upcoming week. Help everybody to stay safe and stay healthy, Lord, and we thank you for this amazing opportunity. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week, guys.